Today's daf is Ayin Aleph. We're going to start right at the top of the Mishnah. But before we start with the Mishnah, we should go back to the previous Mishnah just for a quick minute, which is on the bottom of Samchet Amubet, where we learned Hamacher Tasadeh Machart Avanim Shehem Litzorkav Et Hakanim Shebakerem Shehem Litzorkov Et Hatfuah Shimachuberet Lakarka the Chitzad Hakanim Right Et Hashamira, and then there were all different types of things, and then the Charuv Sheino Mokav Betulat Hashikma, all these things that are included in the sale that are items that are connected to the field itself or needed for the field, or are batel to the field. They're basically not significant enough, like those types of trees that aren't significant, that they're basically considered part of the field. Whereas the second part, which is lo machar avanim sheinan letzorka, avanim that have nothing to do with the field, all sorts of metaltalin that aren't essential for the field's purpose, or tu'ah that's already detached from the ground, and right, and then also right, and then all other things, it's not. And then even if you say, right, kol masha betocha, so those things would be included, but you still wouldn't be including the charuv hamurkav, the sadana shikma, right, the big significant trees, this grafted carob tree and the sycamore tree and this shomirash einasi abatit, or we said there were different gersot exactly which one it was, whether it was asi abatit, einasi abatit, but anything that's its own unique identity, that is not considered part of the sale, even if you say v'chol mashi yeshba. That's not considered part of the sale of a field. Now this picks up where that Mishnah leaves off, that's why it's important to see. And it says, lo et habor v'lo et hagat v'lo et hashovach. It also doesn't include, the sale of a field will not include the boar, the pit, the gat, the wine press, the shovach, the dove coat, bein charivim, bein yeshuvin, whether they're being used or they're not being used, they're old ones, okay? It doesn't include it. Ve, and here we get to our famous machloket, we've seen this mission a bunch of times, vitzarich likach lo derech, divrei Rabbi Akiva. And if you leave those as part, right, you sell your field, but obviously you keep those things for yourself, according to Rabbi Akiva, you have to then purchase yourself a walking path in order to get there, because really, otherwise, you'll be trespassing on the other person's property. And we've seen this before, right? Hamocher, mocher ba'ayin yafa, right? So therefore, he sells everything, including the path, and therefore, he has to acquire for himself a path. V'chachamim omrim, eino tzarich, chachamim say you don't need to acquire a path. The assumption is mocher ba'ayin ra'ah mocher, and he only sells the part that he was planning to sell, but obviously is going to leave himself a path to get to his boar or god or shavach or whatever it might be. Umode Rabbi Akiva bizman sha'amar lo chutz me'elu, she'ino tzarich likach lo derech. Rabbi Akiva will agree that if I sold my field and said, except for the boar and the gat, which is really unnecessary to say because it obviously doesn't include it. So if I added those words, then what did I mean? That I was keeping myself a path. Okay, that I'm selling you it all except for my way to get to my boar, my way to get to my gat, etc. Mecharan la'acher, here's another case which is a little different. If I sell just the boar or the gat or the shovach, okay, and I keep the field for myself. So Rabbi Akiva Omer, eino tzarich likach lo derech. The buyer doesn't have to also acquire a path. Why? This fits exactly with what Rabbi Akiva holds. Rabbi Akiva holds that a mocher ba'ayin yafa mocher. Therefore, if I sold my boar, I also sold it ba'ayin yafa, which means I obviously included a path to get to the boar that you bought. The chachamim omrim, Lishitatam, tzarich likach lo derech. No, if I sold you the boar, I sold you ba'ayin ra'ah, just the boar, not a path. So you also have to spend extra money to get the path. Now, all this, b'med varim amurim b'mocher. This is all true for a seller, someone who sells. And that's where they have a machloket, mocher ba'ayin ra'ah, mocher ba'ayin yafa. Okay. Aval b'notem matana, Rabbi Akiva shita that your mocher ba'ayin, Chachamim shita that your mocher ba'ayin ra'ah would only be true for a mocher. But notem matana, we assume someone who's notem matana gives full, wholeheartedly, and only the mocher who's stuck and he has to sell his stuff and doesn't really want to sell it. Remember, we talked about that anyone who sells is really anus, so to speak. They're forced to sell, but someone who's giving a matana is obviously giving ba'ayin yafa, and therefore would include everything. Ha'achim shechalku, we're going to have all sorts of other exceptions now. If brothers divvied up the property, zachu basadeh zachu bekula. If they split up the property and there's a field with a boar and a gat or one of any of those things, the assumption is if you would sell it, you wouldn't be selling the gat or the boar. But if you're splitting up inheritance and you take the field that has the boar and the gat, you get the boar and the gat. The Rashbam says the reason for this is because when brothers split up, there's an interesting approach. It has to do with maybe sibling rivalry. They want to have nothing to do with each other, right? You might think brothers are dafka wannabes.
It's the same reason we said before about whether you're saying by it was whether the right of way was there when they split.
Right. Also connected with the right of way, although the right of way a little bit contradicts this, and we'll talk about it in a second. The assumption here with the Rashbam is if we're splitting property, I'll say it a little less than sibling rivalry, but it's more that we're trying to divide. This part's mine, that part's yours, so therefore we're just going to be very clear-cut and make very clear-cut distinctions. This side's yours, this side's mine. So what I wanted to add here, one second, is that, right, when it comes to the derech, what did we say? When it comes to the whole thing about the sons, the brothers splitting, what did we say? We said that dafka, you don't get the derech, and you don't get, right? This is different. Here we're talking about, you get the boar and the stuff that's in it. That's generally, we say, when you sell a field doesn't include the boar. But if you're splitting for inheritance purposes, it includes the boar. However, it doesn't include the derech. And that was, it's a little tricky, yes, because there we said the derech.
But yeah. In both cases, it's as if it's a closed, sealed up thing.
You're not giving and you don't get in.
It's
right.
It's as if it's a sibling rivalry.
Yeah,
you're getting it completely. You're not getting right of way into somebody's property. You're not getting one piece here. Like, they each get their own enclosed piece.
Okay.
It doesn't have paths
yeah,
in it.
That's all according to the person who said that you don't get the derech. But there was the other opinion that said, tachat avotecha yubanecha, which means you get to live like your father did. And your father got to walk through here to do his, right, and get his chalonot and all that. So that would seem to contradict this. So the Rashbam explains it doesn't exactly contradict, because that's a distinction between getting a derech, where, and maybe that there we're going to allow you to get a derech to get access way, but we're not going to necessarily say that, oh, but the boar is still yours, right? Now, there's a difference between saying, do you get a path, versus saying, where do we exactly put the boundaries and whether the boar or the gat is included within the sale.
Okay? Almost as if the ownership is clear, but you may have given right of way, as opposed to there's a piece of ownership
right
in the middle.
Yep, yeah, exactly. Okay, there were a few other things I wanted to mention before we move on into the continuation of the Mishnah. When Rabbi Akiva says here that tzarich likach lo derech with the boar and the gat and the shovach, okay, he's only commenting, or at least it's a question about whether his comment is also referring to the stuff in the previous Mishnah, like the charuv and the shikma. Or is it only referring to the boar and the gat? So when Rabbi Akiva says, the mocher ba'ayin yafan, tzarich likach lo derech, would the same apply also for the shikma and the charuf? Okay? So, one second, let me just read my notes, what I wrote. Mocher ba'ayin yafan, kolel derech lagi alav. Matana. Right. Okay. So there's a question. There's a machloket rishon about whether the same thing would apply to a charuv or a shikma. Okay. The matana. Now, what we said about b'medvar marim b'mocher aval noten matana notenet kula. So there's also a debate, by the way, what this means. Notenet kula could mean it includes the path. Right. That's the way we read it. We read it as mocher ba'ayin yafa, and therefore, when you're mocher ba'ayin yafa, you obviously include the path. If you're selling. Right, they would include. I'm sorry, one second. Right, so noten matana, notenet kula, would mean a bunch of different things, right? It would mean, number one, if you sell someone, then you definitely would have to buy a path. But if you sold just your boar, you gave it as a gift, let's say, you gave your boar as a gift, you definitely, Rabbi Akiva anyway would say tzarich likach lo derech, but there's some mafarshim say that benotei matana notei nekula means if I gave my field as a gift, as opposed to selling my field, it would include the boar and the gat. And that's interesting, right? Because until now, what do we say? The boar and the gat are independent identities. So if I sell you my field, it doesn't include my boar or my gat. But according to this, if I give my, according to Matana, notenet kula, some of Farshim explain that means that it even includes the boar and the gat. Okay, that it would include, if I give my field, or the charuv and the shikma, right? That if I give you my field as a gift, that I'm including all that stuff with it. Okay? The truth is, that's what it means. That is the pshat. Okay? The machloket comes up like this. When the Mishnah said, notei matana, notei nekula, just like the achim shachalku, zachu bekula, including the boar and the gat. So likewise, when we say, notei matana, notei nekula, it means that he gets the boar, the gat, everything in the field. What about the stuff in the previous Mishnah, like the avanim she'enan litzorka, movable items? And so it's one thing to say, I gave you my field, it obviously includes whatever's in my field that's built in, the boar, the gat, those kind of things, which are independent, unique identities, so if we're selling them, it wouldn't be included in the sale. We're going to start, there's like a whole, we've talked about all sorts of things that aren't included in the sale, but they're not included for different reasons. So the question is, when the Notei Matana gives everything, does he also give the metaltalin that are not for the purpose of the field, like avanim, that are not litzorech the field, or the kanim, that are not litzorech the field, or stuff that's talush already? You know, is he including mamash everything? Is that what it means, notei nekula, or not? So there's a machloket about it, whether it would include it or not. And the Rimi Gash says, very interestingly, he goes even further back to other Mishnayot. He said, if we're distinguishing between Notei Matana and a buyer, if you remember, we also had the Yitzia. That's where we started with this whole thing. The house that was, right, the little shack that's outside the house. Or the room that's the miklat within the house, right? And so he says that he would make a distinction, the Rimi Gash, between those things and all the things discussed in these few Mishnayot. It's one thing to include even the movable items that are part of the, right, that aren't even part of the field, but happen to be in the field. Things that are in, we understand, are going to all be included. The boar, the gat, that's within the field. But we're going to distinguish between things that are outside. Like, let's say you're selling the house, it's not going to include the yitzia, which is this upper area that's not considered part of the house. Or things that are kind of outside the house. Interestingly enough, he includes this room that's within the house, the miklat, but it's not considered really part of the house, which is strange because his distinction seems to be things that are out of the, right, outside the house. So again, what I liked about it was categorizing all the different things that we saw. So kind of puts it in perspective. And obviously, like I said, there's debate about what this matana notena kula means. Kula could mean, right, kula sounds like it's including everything, but everything could mean just the built-in stuff. It could be just the built-in stuff within the borders of whatever it is you're selling. It could be the built-in stuff, not even built-in stuff, right? Movable stuff that happens to be in the property. Obviously not anything out of the property that's movable. So anyway, there's a debate about these things. Okay. So now we go on to the next category. We're going to have all sorts of, right? We started with the sale. Now we move to the matana. From there to the brothers that split. Okay. All these categories are going to include more things than the sale. Hamachzik b'nichse hager. You go to hefker property, right? The ger dies. His property is hefker. Somebody, right, assuming he has no children. No children after the giyur. Hamachzik b'nichse hager, hechzik basadeh, hechzik bekula. Okay, once you're machzik basadeh, you get everything. Now this makes sense because why? Generally, why would we say you wouldn't get everything? Because it's a separate entity and the person selling it doesn't have the intent to sell it to you. In this case, there is no seller, right? When it's the notei matana, so we're assuming he includes it. When it, there's nobody there and you're just zoche to hefker, so we're assuming if you're machzik the sadeh, you're machzik everything, even including the boar and the gat and etc. Hamagdish et hasadeh. Now we get into a final category. What if you said this field is hekdesh? What do you mean? Do you mean the boar and the gat also? Hikdish et kula. According to Tanakami, here we're going to have a machloket. You're magdish everything. Rabbi Shimon Omer, hamagdish et hasadeh lo hikdish ela et hacharuv hamurka ve'et sadana shikma. Those are the only two items that would be included in your hekdesh, okay? Meaning that the boar, the gat, the shovach are not included. We're going to see in the Gemara what's the distinction between the boar and the gat that won't be included if you're makdish and the charuv and the shikma that would be included if you're makdish. Okay, I don't know if you can think about it yet, but you can give it some thought. We'll see later. Okay, the first question of the Gemara. Maishna mecher u maishna matana. What's the difference between a mecher? What's the difference between a matana? Peresh Yehuda ben Nekusa lefnei Rebbe. He explained in front of Rebbe, ze peresh veze lo peresh. Okay, now, this is unclear. I'm going to go according to one girsa. Okay, there's two different girsa about what we're just talking about here. who's zeh and who's zeh. Okay? Zeh peresh is someone who gives a gift specifies that he's giving everything, and the person who's selling doesn't specify. And that's why the gift gets everything, and the one who doesn't, right, the one who sells doesn't, isn't giving everything. So now they say, what do you mean? Hi, zeh peresh, v'zeh lo peresh? Lo. Hi, zeh peresh, v'zeh. Is it, did you see in the Mishnah that they explained that one specified and one didn't specify? Right? Lo peresh, zeh, zeh lo peresh, v'zeh lo peresh. Right, who? Neither one of them. In our Mishnah, nobody specified exactly what they were saying. So what does he mean when he said that? Ela zeh hayalo lefaresh, v'zeh lo hayalo lefaresh. One should have specified and one didn't need to specify. Okay, what does it mean then? So what are they saying? According to this nosach, the notem matana should have specified if he didn't want to include the god or the boar, because otherwise the assumption is a notem matana is notem ayin yafa, and therefore the assumption, the working assumption, is everything's going to be included unless you specify otherwise. So if he didn't want to include it, he should have specified. And zelo peresh, the seller didn't need to specify that he wasn't selling it because it was obvious he wasn't selling it. That's one way of reading it. The Rashbam brings a second possible interpretation where he says it's not the giver of the matana or the seller, it's the buyer or the one who's getting the gift. Okay? And then he's saying like this, who should have been specifying? The lokeach. If you're buying something and you want to make sure something's included, well, you should specify, right? And you as a buyer have rights because you paid money for something. So because you're paying money, you have rights to demand that the seller write in exactly what he's including and what he's not including. And if you didn't make sure, if you thought you were buying the boar and the goat, and you didn't make sure it was included in the contract, well, that's your fault. You should have specified. That's what he means. Zehayalo lefaresh. The mekabel matana, right? We all know. You get a gift. You can't be picky, right? You can't start saying, oh, I didn't really want that. I wanted that. You get what you get, and that's it. So he had no... Lohayalo lefaresh. He didn't... So not that he should have, he could, he, it wasn't part of his, he wasn't even able to specify. When you get a gift, you can't start saying, oh, well, just write me in your star matana that you're including this. So therefore, in that case, we're going to side with him and give him everything, even if it's not specified. Whereas the buyer, we're only going to let him have it if he was smart enough to specify. But if he didn't do it, well, that's his fault.
But okay. Why is it only the Kabbalah's responsibility?
Well, and that's exactly the two different gersaot. One says it's the seller who's responsible, right? Or the giver of the matana, and then one should have explained and one shouldn't have, and that goes based on what the default is. The second option is saying, well, who should be smart enough in being responsible to get it? Okay, so different approach about what the point of being mefaresh is. Okay. Hahu de'amar lehu havalei leplanya beita demachzik me'al golfei. Someone, okay, now the Mefreshim say he was on his deathbed, okay, because if he, otherwise, we learned this, Matanat Shchiv Mera is, or Divrei Shchiv Mera, Ke Mesurim, I forget the term exactly, it's as if it was given, right? You have to do it. Normally, if somebody says something and doesn't write a contract, it's useless. But a Shchiv Mera, someone who's about to die, who's on his deathbed, we're going to take his word seriously, and if he says, Havlehu, it's as if he said, right, give it, and he did a kinyan on it, even though there was no kinyan. Right? You could, your words could mean something if you did a kinyan, but if you're bari. But if you're bari, you have to do a kinyan at least. So, if you say havule, okay, then it's as if you gave it on your deathbed. So, what did he say? Give so-and-so my house that can hold 100 barrels in it. Okay? Now, what happened? Eshtekach, so they went to his properties and they tried to figure out, well, which house was he referring to? When he said, give this guy my house that has 120, can fit 100 barrels in it, sorry, 100 barrels, they went to look. Eshtekach, dehava machzik mea ve'esrin. They only found a house he had that fit 120 barrels and not 100. Okay, this goes back to, right, you ever have that, guess how many jelly beans fit into the jar, right? Did he know exactly 100 fit? Has he measured it? Maybe he had. So the question is, how do we view this? Amar Mar Zutra, Mea Amarle, Mea Ve'esrin Lo Amarle. He said 100, he didn't say 120. So therefore, what's his assumption? You give the guy the 5/6 of the property, basically. You take this property that's 120, chaviot. You measure out 100 chaviot. You draw the line there and you say, this part belongs to you in zeu. You don't get more than this. Because the guy said he was giving you a house worth, you know, the size of 100. Obviously, what you do with that little part of the house that he doesn't own is quite odd. Okay, we'll see that Rav Ashi didn't exactly agree with him. Amarle Rav Ashi, no, lo Amarle, period. Rav Ashi Amar, Rav Ashi says, Milo Tnan, didn't we say, Bamed Dvarim Amurim B'mocher? Aval B'note Matana Notenet Kula. Right? What do we say with Note Matana? You get everything. So what does he derive from there? Alma, Mandi Yav Matana Ba'ayin Yafa Yahiv. Hachanami, Mandi Yav Matana Ba'ayin Yafa Yahiv. And the assumption is, even though he said 100, he wasn't being stingy and saying, I'm only giving him 100. He was saying, I'm giving him the house, it's 100. If it's 120, he gets 120 also. Now here there's an interesting machloket among them. We've shown him. Is this case of 100 and 120, was it given just because that was the case, and those were the particulars of the case, and it would be true even if the house was, let's say, 150 chaviot, right? It means, or is this specifically this kind of ratio, and that it wouldn't be true for a ratio that's greater than 120 to 100, okay? So if, let's say, what it is, 20% more. So if it's any more than 20% more, then you wouldn't get it. Okay. So there's a debate about that, about whether this is specific or that was just the case. And it would be the same in any other case. And when we say ayin yafa, we're not measuring percentages and how much more. We just say, be generous. Okay. Now we're going to get to this makdish case. Hamakdish hatasadeh hikdish. So let's just review from the Mishnah again. Hikdish et kula, according to Tanakama. Rabbi Shimon says he's makdish. Lo hikdish ela tacharuv amurkav et stana shikma. In other words, he's makdish the sadeh and the charuv and the shikma, but not the boar, the gat, and other independent things that are in the field. So Amar Rav Huna. Here comes Rav Huna. Okay. Remember that's Rav Huna because we're going to get back to him. Af agav de amar rabanan hakoneh shnei ilanot betoch shel chavero hare ze lo kana karka machar karka v'shiyer shtei ilanot lefanav yesh lo karka. Okay, I'll stop here before I continue. What's this case? Rav Huna says, even though the rabbi said that if I buy two ilanot in your field, okay, lo kana karka, I don't get the karka. What does it mean I don't get the karka, if you remember? It means I bought these trees. If the trees die, I don't get to plant new trees. I basically just bought the trees. I didn't buy the land around them. However, if I sold you my land and left myself two trees, in that case, I get the karka. Okay, so there's a difference. If I sell you them, you don't get the karka. But if I leave them over for myself and sell you everything else, I get to keep the karka. So what does he say here? V'afilu l'Rabbi Akiva da'amar mocher ba'ayin yafa mocher. And even according to Rabbi Akiva, who holds that I'm mocher ba'ayin yafa, which means if I sold you my whole field and I left these two trees for myself, okay, then even according to him, I'm still going to get the land underneath them, okay? Why am I going to get, right? What's he going to say? Even though I'm mocher ba'ayin yafa, I still get the land, okay? Now, what's the issue here that Rav Huna is going to say? Hane mile, this is only gabe bor vidut, de lo kamach sheba'ara. Aval ilanot, de kamach sheba'ara, im ite de lo shir, le male akori lanchashko vizil. This whole concept of mocher ba'ayin yafa mocher is only when I'm selling you my field, leaving over my bor vidut, then we say, right, or all those other things. What's unique about those things? They don't destroy the ground at all. They don't take nourishment from the ground, right? A boar doesn't need the ground around it. So we'll see in a minute why that's relevant, although we've seen this before, if you remember. So therefore, when I'm mocher ba'ayin yafa, right, it means I'm giving you all the stuff, and, right, let's say I leave over my boar vidut, I don't give myself a path to get there. But ilanot, if I keep my ilanot for myself, then I'm going to keep the karka. Why am I going to keep the karka? Because ilanot or machshe ba'ara, they weaken the ground. And im ita delo shir, if I don't leave over for myself, le male akori lanchashko vizil, you'll say to me eventually, right, maybe not the first year after you bought it because we have a nice relationship, I sold you my field. But another year later, you'll say, hey, listen, you don't have rights to this, right? The ground is mine. Your trees are taking nourishment from my ground, which is affecting my ability. I can't plant anything here because if I plant here, it won't grow because your trees are there bothering it. So therefore, get rid of your trees and I'm going to take my land back. You have no rights to be here. So therefore, even if you're mocher ba'ayin yafa, you're not going to be silly about it and you know, cut off your nose to spite your face, right? You're not going to basically do something that's going to detrimentally affect you, that eventually the guy's going to say, get rid of your tree. So Tnan, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Makdish et hasadeh lo ikdish ela charuv amurkav sadan shikma. Okay, so now, wait a minute. So this was brought in, right? Let me just remember how this works in the Mahalach. Because there, Makdish et hasadeh ikdish et kula, right? And you're also Makdish et charuv amurkav et sadan shikma. Okay, so now we're going to say, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Makdish et hasadeh lo ikdish ela charuv amurkav et sadan shikma. V'tanei ala, Amar Rabbi Shimon, matam, what's the reason why you're also makdish the charuv and the sadana shikma, ho'il v'yonkim misdei hakdesh, right? Because if I say I'm makdish the field, well, the field is providing nutrition, right? It's the same concept as we said a minute ago. The field is providing nutrition for these trees. Since the field is providing nutrition for the trees, therefore, the trees are yonkim mi hekdesh, which makes the trees then hekdesh. You follow? That's why he says, if I'm makdish the field, I'm makdish the trees, which are also now hekdesh. They're getting their nutrients from hekdesh, so that turns them into hekdesh.
But that applies to anything that would be growing in the field and not just the charuv and the shikma.
Right, so it's, right, yafeh. So it's all trees other than, right, what's not included? The boar, the gat, all the things that don't take nourishment. It is. It includes all the trees. Okay, the isal kadatach shiure shir kika. But now, if you say so, now here's we're going to connect to the last sugya. If you're going to say that if I sold you everything except for my trees, then what did I do? I kept the ground underneath them, right? So if we take that all the way, then what do we say? If I'm makdish my field, then I keep for myself, I'm shiurei mashayer, the ground around them. In which case, what would you say? Ki kayanke midenafshe kayanke. When you're yonek from the ground, the charuv and the sadan, according to this logic, shouldn't be hektesh. Because what did I do? I was makdish my field except for the ground around the trees. Because the assumption is if I'm makdish something, right, or I'm selling. What's the assumption here? Okay, you have to remember the basic assumption. I didn't say this, but that hekdesh is like a mechira. Okay, in other words, let's put it this way: the makdish is like a mocher. Exactly, he's like a mocher. If he's like a mocher, then what are we going to say? He's going to be mishayer the trees for himself, and he's mishayer the trees, and he's also mishayer the area around the trees. As the other opinion thinks he is mishayer the trees, it's just that the trees are yonek from the ground, and the ground has hekdesh. It's not the other guy. It's the build-up here. They're saying, Rabbi Shimon says that's the reason, and if that's the reason, according to what Rabbi Shimon says, that they're yonek misdeh hekdesh, then it doesn't make sense what Rav Huna said, because Rav Huna said that if I leave over my trees, then I also leave the ground underneath, because otherwise I'll be stuck, right? Same thing here. If I'm makdish and I want to keep the trees for myself, I'm obviously going to keep mishayer the ground underneath it so that I can keep the trees also. In which case, the trees should be yonek from my property, right? Because I left the ground underneath for myself. I kept it for myself. In which case, it's not hektesh. So when Rabbi Shimon says the whole reason they're considered hektesh is because it's yonek mi karka hektesh, it's not true, according to Rav Huna. So you follow? So we now have a contradiction between what Rav Huna said and the way we're trying to, right, and what we understood from Rabbi Shimon. Now Rabbi Shimon's a Tana and Rav Huna's an Amora. So basically something about Rav Huna doesn't make sense in light of what Rabbi Shimon said. Okay, let's just clarify one last time. Rabbi Shimon said that the reason the hektesh, the trees become hektesh and not the boar and all that, is because they're yonek from the hektesh and that turns them into hektesh. But according to Rav Huna, if I left over the trees, then I should have left over also the ground underneath the trees. And therefore, it should be yonek from my own. So the simple answer is, Rabbi Shimon da'amar k'Rabbi Akiva, Rav Huna da'amar k'Rabbanan. Now we say that Rabbi Shimon and Rav Huna hold by different Tana'im, and therefore Rav Huna holds by a different Tana, in which case, we don't care that he contradicts Rabbi Shimon, because Rabbi Shimon has a whole different Tfisa, and Rav Huna is based on the other Tfisa. So we say that Rav Huna, who said that you're mishayer the part for yourself, because he holds like Rabbanan, who say what? Mocher ba'ayin ra'a mocher, and therefore you're going to be mishayer also the karka underneath. And Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Akiva. Okay, where Rabbi Shimon holds, you're mocher ba'ayin yafa, and therefore you don't leave the karka for yourself, and therefore the hekdesh, right, the trees are going to become hekdesh. So Rabbi Shimon damak Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Huna damak Rabbanan. So now they say, wait a minute. If Rabbi Huna is holding like Rabbanan, ki Rabbanan pshita, it's obvious. You don't need to tell us if we're assuming Rabbi Huna is an Amora. Now, he can't come and tell us a halacha that a Tana already said that's totally obvious. If Chachamim hold mocher ba'ayin ra'a mocher, so then why would Rav Huna need to tell us this halacha that you keep the karka underneath? Obviously, you keep the karka underneath if you're mocher ba'ayin ra'a. So what's the what are the answer? Nafkamina di nafle hadar shatilahu. The nafkamina is that if it fell, right, then what does it mean? You keep the karka. Not just that you keep the karka, that it's unique from the karka, and that you know that we're that you have the land around it, but what it means is the importance, and what Rav Huna is trying to tell you is that if your trees die, you kept for yourself the karka to the extent, right? This is really a matter of to what extent are you mocher ba'ayin ra'ah, to the extent that you kept the karka that you can now plant new trees there if they fell. And that's the chidush of Rav Huna if we're going to assume that. We're going to have another question about this down the road. But if we're going to assume that Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Akiva and Rav Huna holds like Chachamim, Rav Huna's chidush is that if you're going to say mocher ba'ayin ra'ah, what it means is if you sell you keep your trees to yourself, you sell the whole field, you keep the trees, you also get to keep the ground underneath so that, you know, to the extent that if your trees fall down, they die, you're allowed to plant new trees. And that's what Rav Huna's chidush is. Okay, tomorrow we're going to question, does Rabbi Shimon really hold like Rabbi Akiva? Okay, and then we'll get more into that.